I wanted to find one more opportunity to share with you about Thanksgiving. The message today is, I thank the Lord for you. We're going to be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as we see Paul addressing the church in Thessalonica. And as he spoke with the Thessalonians, he reveals to them his great joy, his appreciation to God for seeing a genuine salvation and a genuine faith growing out of that genuine salvation. As a pastor, we are often burdened with many cares and concerns for the church. It's interesting in how that sometimes from one pastor to another, we see differences in personalities, don't we? We see differences in styles of preaching and teaching. But yet I think something that is going to be a common theme through the heart of every pastor is a deep longing to see the church and the people that are of that church to grow and to prosper, and the people in that community, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But yet more than that, to see believers growing and maturing so that they are in turn growing others or sharing with others. To see that multiplication, we see God working in and through that. Now, often we can find all kinds of form of religion and, you know, many things that we talk about in our gospel-centered life as we study on Sunday night, that many things that we try to do that are church-related, but yet not growing us spiritually, right? And so we've been getting some insight to that of how, what does that look like and how do we carry that out? Well, today, to suffice, we're going to be looking at the Thessalonians here, that as Paul is speaking to them, this is a church that was planted during Paul's second missionary journey. And you'll see the main characters of this is Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus, which is Silas, which Silas accompanied Paul on his second missionary journey. And if you remember the Macedonian call during a vision that Paul had a vision of a Macedonian, said, come and teach us and guide us in the gospel. And so they went to the Macedonian area. Thessalonica was in this area. Thessalonica is a very wealthy city. It had a very vibrant port as well as a traveling through was easily accessible. And we see that there was a lot of money, a lot of different cultures, a lot of opportunity, if you will. But along with that came a great need for the gospel, right? And so as they went, you'll see this recorded in Acts chapter 17. They went and they were greeted by several Jews that believed, many Gentile Greeks that believed. And then also we see many women of the community, leading women of the community that received Paul and Silas as well. But we do see also that there were many Jews that were in the area that did not believe in Christ and were very jealous of the following that was coming about. And so they stood up with a lot of opposition. In fact, if you remember reading in a book of Acts chapter 17, they couldn't find Paul, so they drug out Jason. And they took him to court, and they tried to accuse them all of being treasonous against Rome. And so the leaders of that group, we see the leadership that was there in Thessalonica, they somewhat saw through it, somewhat give them a fine, and sent them on their way. Well, at this point, the pressure had become too great, and so they encouraged Paul to go, and Paul went into Athens. And so he was there, and as he was writing this letter, you see that his concern for the church, it seemed as though that Paul had left earlier, much earlier than he wanted to. So the church was in a vulnerable situation. It was still in its infancy, if you will, has not really been given the grounding scripturally and teaching that it needed to stand against the opposition that was there in Thessalonica. And so Paul, being moved as he was there in Athens, began to write to them, but this was after he had sent Timothy back. He was so concerned for them, he asked Timothy to go back to Thessalonica and minister to the church. So when after some time Timothy comes back and gives a report to Paul of how well things are going. And so Paul writes in response to Timothy's report, if you will. And many of this is what we would call a missionary report. You know, when you have a missionary come back and he shares with the church of what's going on, and you know, you've been funding and giving to missions, BMA missions, this is what we're using it for, this is what we need, we have more needs, greater opportunities, and so they share all the good things that are going on, but also the prayer needs as well. And so as Timothy shared with Paul, Paul was excited and wanted to glorify God for all the great things that were going on. And the result is that as we look at the title of the message today, I thank the Lord for you. I think you're going to see what we're emphasizing today. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning of verse 2. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." You know, as we look at these, I want us to start with verse 2. The joy of seeing God working in the lives of other believers. Here's a thought that I have to go along with that. Thankful hearts will lead to an action of love. Thankful hearts will lead to an action of love. As Paul was writing them, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all." Now, first of all, he's not giving the members all the credit, right? Now, he's acknowledging what they have done in faithful service. He's acknowledging the genuine faith that they have placed in the Lord Jesus Christ that led to salvation. But then also, he's acknowledging that they were faithful in continuing in that faith and growing in that faith by it being an act of faith. Remember when James tells us that faith without works is dead? And it's not one that works brings about salvation, but yet if there's a genuine salvation, it's going to lead to genuine works. Amen? That's right. It's going to bring us to places that we cannot and would not go on our own. But yet the faith of God carries us through to act upon that love. Now here's something that we would take in consideration. And say, what is the source of that joy? Well, we look at 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. It goes, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." Now, why these people? He's giving God glory because it gives him great joy to see people that have come to the Lord Jesus and God has turned their life around and they continue in the faith. They continue to carry on. It's heartbreaking when we see people that come to the Lord Jesus and stop following, stop growing, stop challenging themselves, in the Word. They stop praying, they stop studying, they stop witnessing, whatever it may be. And unfortunately, we have churches full of people like that, don't we? But yet, even ourselves must be careful of not becoming complacent. Amen? Giving up. Maybe even out of discouragement. Maybe out of heartache, maybe out of bitterness, whatever it may be, we get to a place that we just stop. Maybe something didn't work the way that we wanted it to. Maybe someone didn't respond the way that we wanted to. Well, we would think that, well, how is it that he can have joy when, sure, when everything is going my way and everything is going well, yes, we can have joy, but actually just the opposite was going on. In fact, those at Thessalonica were faced with persecution. The same attitude those Jews had toward Paul and Silas and Jason and those that they were persecuting, they're persecuting the believers that are there in the church of Thessalonica as well. So it isn't as though everything was going perfectly and everything was ease and comfort, but yet they faithfully followed the Lord Jesus even in times of difficulty, even when they were faced with opposition. And I think we could find that today, wouldn't you agree? I think we can relate to that. But yet opposition isn't a time to stop, but yet opposition is a time to get on our knees and allow God to take us places that we cannot go, to accomplish what only He can. I still reflect on the saying that I had heard from Brother Michael Hurst, pastor at in Jeff City. He says, "We must do all that we can do, but God can only do what must be done." You can't do it all, but yet God will and can. But we must be available to His use. We must be available for His use. So Paul is rejoicing in the product of God's goodness and God's mercy, and he gives God credit, which in reality, if you are a child of God and your heart is focused upon the Lord Jesus, when you praise God, then you rejoice with them. Amen? You ever had a project or something that got done and somebody didn't get thanked for it? You know, sometimes I try to give as much accolades as I can and show appreciation, but inevitably, I'm human, I'll miss something or I'll miss someone. And it's just like, oh, I hate that. But yet when those that are doing it for other reasons, they remind me, I'm not doing this for you, Pastor, I'm doing this for the Lord. That gives me great excitement. How about you? Yes, because you know their heart's in the right spot. It's not hanging upon what the pastor is going to do or say or what anyone else is going to say. Paul was thankful for what God was doing, but the attitude drove Paul to continue to show and communicate a godly love for these new believers. You notice even that when Paul left, he left the area, he went to Athens, they were still on his heart. There was still a concern that he prayed for them daily. As he says, "We've prayed for you all." I would imagine Paul went through each and every name, each and every family, each and every one, whatever their struggles were, and all the things that they were finding difficulty in, praying for them as a community, praying for them as a church, to continue to be a light in that community. You know, we have such great opportunity to just communicate with each other within just a split second, right? Like some of you probably communicating right now, right? Talking to somebody, instead of listening here, you're somewhere else. Well, communication is great when we have it in the right place and right time, right? Because right now, God's communicating, amen? God's communicating of what is the reality and the needs that we have as a church today. So as we look, Christianity is not what's in it for me religion, but God has designed the church to be a place where we can invest in the lives of one another. I think Lindsay Lane has a good grasp on that. I think Lindsay Lane has a good idea of that. In fact, our hearts become so intertwined together as God's people, as we serve and we work one another, that we continue to increase in that value that we have in one another. Isn't that right? That's why it hurts when we see those that we love so dearly go to a different place, because we've invested in them, right? That's why it hurts when we have members that don't come or not able to come. We miss them. We long for them. Why? We have invested interest in who they are and how God is working in and through their lives. And though that is how it should be, but also we have an invested interest in some of those that hurt us, right? And it hurts even more when we have an invested interest, right? So sometimes people get out of bitterness or hurt going the wrong direction. You're handling it the wrong way. You take that hurt and you turn it into a prayer ministry. You take that hurt, you return it to the Lord. And you ask Him how that you should view this, how that you should handle this. Because so often, those that hurt us are hurting themselves, right? And were we not just the same mess years before? Probably. Have we not hurt others with our own tongue and with our own lack of knowing or interest? Of course we have. So then why would we not return the same grace that was given to us? Why? Because we have a vested interest in one another. Folks, it would just be easier to say, well, I'm hurt, I'm going somewhere else. Yes, that would be easy. But you're not going to find a place of joy and deeper love and a deeper investment until you stay, even when it hurts. Are you with me? Okay. Thought you fell asleep on me there for just a minute. The investment that you make is not when it's good, but when things are at their worst, is your greatest investment. Isn't that how investments work in the world today? You buy when it's down, right? People want to bail out of their 401ks, want to bail out of their retirement when it's low. Oh, it's real bad. I'm taking my money out. Well, you just took your money out and it was worth less than it had been for years. You don't bail out when it's low. You buy more when it's low. And then when it gets high, then you get out if you want to get out. But then you look at it, oh, I'm making all kinds of money. I don't want to get out now. Right. So you have to weather the ups and downs. Amen? You have to weather those ups and downs in order to get the fullest investment of your money. Same way as in our faith. When we're dealing with one another within the church family, we stay even when it's tough. Stay when it's hard. We stay when it's not working or seems like it's not working. And because we have a vested interest, and then God begins to use us during those difficult times. So here's some things that we see in verse 3 that is interesting that he calls them to do. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Underline those three. Those three are three keys to a happy Christian life. Work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three. What is your work of faith? Well, verse 9 kind of shows us what he's talking about there, is that they had turned themselves from the idols and turned to God, serving the living and true God. So you know what, folks? They were living in an area that many of the idols and things that they had served and that they had worshipped, many of the culture that went around those idols, they walked away from. You know, in many cultures, we would find that, we would think that, well, that's no big deal. But they were very tight-knit communities, and often when you would turn away from the community practices, it become to set you out separate from everyone else, and you looked odd, okay? In fact, the scripture even describes us as being a peculiar people. Why? Because we have set ourselves aside from what the world does. So often I think that believers struggle with this the most, is that they forget that we are, as children of God, simply pilgrims forever, right? We've already talked about where home is. Heaven is a destiny, but Jesus makes it home, all right? Heaven is a destiny, but Jesus truly makes it home. And that's what we're longing for. We're longing to be with Him. And so we're different. This world is not where we're investing, but yet eternity is where we're investing. What we're spending our time, our efforts, our talents, our tithe, and all our testimony, all of that is being invested in and for God Himself. So then the second one is laboring in love. What we see in verse 6, that their labors, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Even though they were going through suffering and difficulties on a daily basis, the Lord was giving them joy through the Holy Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God was witnessing to them and with them that you are my child, you are a child of God, and you have an eternal home. And this, all that is going on around us, we will endure it. We're going to labor in love. You know, when we see things getting at its worst is when we should be working harder. But yet so often we get discouraged and we just kind of put everything down and, oh, what's the use? That's the most important time to work. Have you ever noticed the hot water heater never goes out at a good time? Right in the middle of a shower, you're all sudsed up top to bottom, and it's that real fancy buttercream soap that you got from Sam's Club, and you can't rinse it off. You walk around smelling like soap all day. The car never breaks down on a convenient, dry, climate-friendly day, does it? Never breaks down at a good time. All of these things, you think, oh, what's the use? Just leave the thing on the side of the road. Maybe somebody will take it. Well, the reality is, I need that aggravating car. I need that hot water heater. So when it's the worst, but we get to work. We roll up our sleeves. It's time to get to work. And these are the times that we do not look for joy when things are well, but we find joy in the Lord no matter the circumstances or the conditions that we find ourselves in. Love is the evidence of the Spirit of God and a genuine salvation. Only a true love of God will weather the storms and the difficulties that we face. Do you love the Lord? Then work for Him, even when it costs you everything. Serve Him. A patient hope in Christ. Now, we've talked about this hope in other studies that we've done. This is an anticipation of the return of Christ. This hope bears up under the load, if you will, and bears up under the load for a long endurance, for a long time. No matter how long it takes for the Lord to come back, we're not going to give up. We're not going to get discouraged. We're not going to stop doing what He has called us to do. Are you willing to endure faithfully till He returns? Are you willing to endure faithfully even if He doesn't give us an answer right away? Sometimes it takes time to find out what His answer is, doesn't it? But you know what? Those answers wouldn't mean near as much if we just got an answer the next day. That answer wouldn't mean near as much if I was just able to text Him and about 30 seconds later, He just gives me an answer. Oh, yeah, that wasn't that big of a deal, right? And so therefore, His involvement in our life is not that big of a deal. Are you with me? But when we stay and endure through all these difficulties and we're to the point that we have already broken a week ago, don't have anywhere else to turn, don't have anything else to offer, but yet God brings about a glorious answer, a glorious revealing of His will and His love and His mercy, then we find out that yes, we truly do need Him and He is important in our lives. And we love Him all the more. Amen? This church had a witness and a testimony in the surrounding areas. So much so that Paul said, there's really nothing else to add because you've been going, you're sharing, you're giving your testimony, you're sharing with others. Folks, this church really loved the Lord, didn't they? Not only did they live for Him, they suffered for Him, they suffered with Him, but they shared Him with everyone that they come in contact with. This church truly loved the Lord. And so a genuine faith is going to lead, and thankfulness is going to lead to an active. Then in 1 Thessalians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, we see in our second point, thankful that you continue to mature in Christ. So chapter 3, verse 6, he says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Paul continued to have a desire to see them. We see that he wanted to come to them. But in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, we realize they said, therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. There's a lot of times that we feel like we should be able to do something, but it seems as though things get in the way, don't they? Things are hindering. Things are holding up. Now, there is a difference. You know, sometimes people will get excited. They'll hear a message and, okay, here we go. We're going to go start something. We're going to go do something. And we don't stop and give and accounting. We don't stop and count the cost. We don't sit down and look at. So there's a rushing in, if you will, that is not always wise. But yet sometimes we have taken the accounting, we have counted the cost, and now we're all ready to go, and now we can't go. What happened? Sometimes Satan is working very hard. Anytime that we're trying to minister and things get in the way, we can be angry at people, but the reality is Satan is working in those things. He's trying to hinder us from ministry. He's trying to discourage us in ministry. He's trying to convince us that God really doesn't love us. Then if he truly loved us, then why wouldn't he allow such and such? Why wouldn't he allow this or that? If God didn't love us, then why is it that we're being punished or persecuted or whatever the excuses that we may bring, and we turn that back on God and defaming him? Satan enjoys that. But yet as a church, they love the Lord. They suffered with the Lord. They served him in spite of all that was going on. They found joy in him in spite of the difficulties. And so now we see that Paul wanted to return to them, but for some reason, Satan was hindering that. Aren't you glad that God implants within us pastors, being just as human as you are, that seems to go beyond what we can do? You've expressed that in this last month in an incredible way. You really have. We have been overwhelmed by your love and support. But yet what's even greater joy to our hearts was watching you all working together, serving together, even while we were not here, continuing to worship, continuing to move forward, continuing to start. I was concerned about Awana, but you all jumped in, and Awana got up and running and going and still has volunteers and workers. We're still trying to add kids and see it grow and see it prosper. We're simply the leader. We're not the church. The pastor is simply the first servant, but yet you have found your place in service as well. Our lives should produce the fruit that causes others to give thanks to God for the blessings of God that flow through our lives into the lives of those around us. Are you living a life that brings joy to others around you? Do others look at your life and turn around and give praise and glory to God? That's our purpose as a church. In Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I'm going to go to my last point, thankfulness as an investment. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I know I've touched on this already, but I want us to have a couple last thoughts here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For who? Concerning you. For you. Ah, that's for the pastor to do, right? But that's for you to do also. Amen? Well, we've kind of dug in. How do I rejoice even if I'm having a bad time? But rejoicing doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from the witness of the Holy Spirit within our spirit, reminding us who we are. No matter what we lose in this earth, we've always got something to rejoice about in Christ, because he is eternal. He's bigger than our problems. More important than anything that we will lose here. Paul exercised that. For everything that I count as loss is but dung. It's nothing to me. But when I gain Christ, then I've gained everything. In fact, he even went so far as to say, for me to have Christ is I win. When I die in Christ, I win again. How can you beat a guy down that views life like that? You can't, right? Because his eyes, his hope, his faith is fixed on something that is not in this world. How is it that churches endure difficult times? We rejoice in the Lord Jesus. We give thanks. We give thanks to those who we find value in. That's what it is. That's the whole basis of thankfulness. We thank those who we place value in. And folks, if we would truly value the Lord God, we would be here thanking him on a daily basis. Amen? You remember in the book of Acts? That's what they did. They gathered together, and daily they broke bread together from house to house. See, they didn't have church buildings in the early New Testament. They didn't build all these church buildings. They had church and homes and the houses of believers. And they would go and they started worshiping on Sundays, but they realized that they were rejoicing in what God is doing. They did it on a daily basis. And here's what's ironic is that here now in our day and age, it's almost a challenge to get us all together on one Sunday morning, much less our Sunday night studies, our Wednesday night, and all these other ministries. Why is that? I'm convinced because the end's coming. The scripture told us is that as the day approaches, gather yourselves together. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, and so much more as the day approaches. That day that he's talking about is the judgment that Christ is bringing upon the earth. We should be even more excited about worship and giving thanks and rejoicing. But what's happened? We've allowed the circumstances to rob us of the rejoicing that God has already offered to us and is available today. Amen? We've allowed the fears of what's going on around us. We've allowed the fear of not knowing the answers. And we've neglected bending the knee in prayer and allowing him to bring us to another level. But it starts with thankfulness. We invest in those that mean something to us. Where are you investing? Who are you investing in? We rejoice as God's people that we may have a reason and always will have a reason to be joyful. It's no wonder that the Christian is able to rejoice continually when we remember the inexhaustible sources of joy that he possesses in his relationship to Christ, to God, and to the Holy Spirit, and in the promises of the divine word and in a loving benefit and holy life. We have so much that is available to us. Why would we not rejoice? We continue in prayer. When we're rejoicing in the Lord, we want to come to him and invest even more. Wouldn't you agree? The Spirit guides us as we minister to the church and community in prayer. You know, Paul could have been very discouraged that he couldn't go back to Thessalonica. He was stuck there in Athens and those that were fighting against him and hindered ministry, but yet, did it really hinder God? No. Paul was restricted in what he could do, but God was not. Amen? And so, folks, he prayed, asked the Lord to continue to work. He continued to invest in those there in Thessalonica, the church there. He continued to give and pray and support spiritually in time. You realize this prayer time had to take a great deal of time. Wouldn't you agree? Folks, I want to ask, how are we investing our time in one another? Now, I know that you've been praying for me and my family. I know that we've been praying for other families who have been struggling in such a deep way. Are we praying for those that are growing? Are we praying for those that may not be showing growth? Are we praying for those that are still young and the challenges that they have to face and see and deal with on a daily basis? Are we investing in our youth? Are we investing in our elders, teens, young people? Most of our little ones are downstairs, but teens, I'm directing this to you. Sometimes we wait for the elders and the older ones to invest in us when it's actually just the opposite. You realize when he sent Timothy, Timothy was a very young man, and he sent Timothy to build and strengthen the church. Why? Because Paul had discipled Timothy, and Timothy was going to go and disciple other believers. So teens, you need to be investing in others. You know, when we as older people listen to you talk and you tease us because we have no idea what you're talking about in the language and the lingo and the electronics and you look at us like we have no clue. Well, some things we do, a lot we do have a clue. So when we start with our long, boring stories, if we really are valuable to you, you'll listen to our boring stories while we listen to your very confusing conversation as well, as you laugh at us and say, why don't you understand this? We're invested in each other, are we not? This brings us to a place of thankfulness. Can you look at those around you? Are there any in the congregation today that you've led to the Lord? Think about it. Are there others outside of the church that you've led to the Lord? Are you continuing to follow up with them? Are you continuing to pray for them? Are you continuing to invest in them? Teens, who are you investing in? I know many of you are investing in the younger ones. Are you investing in the elders? What are some ways that you can invest in them? Maybe it's a prayer time. Maybe you need to pick one elder that you seem to get along with, and maybe you need to know what their prayer needs are. How are you investing? Maybe you just need to stand and listen to somebody talk. I know. I know it's painful. It's painful. But I'll tell you what, there's never been a time that I sat with an elder that I didn't walk away learning something that I didn't know about or have a better angle view of how I might respond to something in the future. There's a lot of value there if you will are willing to invest. And then as we all grow together, we'll turn around together collectively in worship and say how glorious God truly is. I thank the Lord for you all.